Let's read together, shall we? Psalm 23, verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's reading Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. Would you pray with me? Would you pray for me and pray with me this morning? Our Father, thank you for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you for the gathering together of the saints of God. Thank you that church folks have come to church to do church stuff on church day. And I pray that you'd make it easy for us. Thank you for the good singing that we've heard. And thank you, Lord, for what you do and what you're going to do. And I pray that the preaching, God, would be exactly what you designed for it to be. I pray that it will accomplish that which you set out for it to accomplish. Do what you do and be who you are. And we'll thank you for it. We'll praise you for it. We'll give you glory best way we know how. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. I want you to notice with me this morning that Psalm 23 is not a stand-alone psalm. There are many of them in the Word of God that are by themselves, in and of themselves, a message. But I want you to notice that Psalm 23, and you Bible readers are familiar that it's a part of a trilogy of Psalms. It goes naturally with Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. And I want you to notice what's going on in Psalm 23. And I want you to see that it's a psalm about a valley. Somebody help me right there. Have you ever been in a valley? Listen, the Christian life is a life of hills and valleys, ups and downs. The psalmist's life displays. On one minute, he's shouting on the mountaintop. But the next minute, he's down in a deep, dark valley, and he cannot find God. Have you ever been like that? Listen, you don't have to have an evangelist show up from Alabama to teach you what to do when you're on the mountain. Everybody knows how to act when they're on the mountain. Everybody knows what to do when things are going their way. Everybody knows how to behave themselves when life is just exactly like they'd like for it to be. But the sad fact of the matter is those times are not all the way, always. Those are not always, you're not always on the mountain. You're not always having good time. You're not always in a place that you'd like to be. Sometimes you have to go through some valleys. Somebody say amen. I want to point out to you this morning that Psalm 23 is situated in between Psalm 22 and 24. Look at Psalm 23 and verse number 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You Bible readers are familiar that those are the words of the Lord Jesus as he hanged on Calvary's hill. Honey, when you look at Psalm 22, you see the blood-stained caps of Mount Calvary. It don't get no higher than that. I know it looked like a tragedy. I know it looked like a bad thing, but I'm telling you, honey, that thank God that's the highest peak there is. That's the highest. You've been to Calvary. You've been to the highest mountain that God ever made. Thank God for Calvary. If you've not been to Calvary, you're lost without God. But thank God if you've been there, you're saved. And there, it don't get no higher than that. When you look at Psalm 22, you see Calvary and thank God for Calvary. On top of Mount Calvary, God sent His only begotten Son to pay the sin debt for the entire world. Thank God for Calvary. Amen. Don't get much higher than that. There's a mountain on one side of Psalm 23, Mount Calvary. Jump over now with me to Psalm 24 and notice another mountain. Look at verse number 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? Oh, I want you to notice that with me. In Psalm 23, Psalm 22 is the blood-stained caps of Mount Calvary. But in Psalm 24, the victorious peaks of Mount Zion. Somebody say amen. Is anybody interested in going to heaven one of these days? He said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. Honey, if you've been to Mount Calvary, I got good news for you. You've got clean hands and a pure heart. And if you stood on the top of Mount Calvary, there's coming a glad day in the not so distant future when you're going to stand on the top of victorious Mount Zion and shout the victory. Honey, I don't know how I'm going to act when the holy angels stand there with folded wings and watch the redeemed of the Lord stand on the top of Mount Zion. Zion. Honey, I don't know about you, but I'm glad, thank God. It don't matter what happens down here in this low land. Thank God we're going to get out of here one of these days. We're going to a land that is fairer than day. By faith, I can see it afar. Thank God our heavenly home. It's not a myth. It's not make-believe. It's not something folks have made up to starve the soul of suffering saints. It's a real place. It's a real place. And we're really going there. We're really going there one day. I told you don't get much higher than Mount Calvary. But oh, hallelujah. On the top of Mount Zion, I shall stand. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen over there. I don't know what's going to happen. But I got a feeling that some things are going to go down. Amen. Thank God when we shall know as we're known. When this prison of flesh and bone, I shall drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand on yonder shore and with a glorified mind, in a glorified body, I'll lift my voice and sing unto God like a redeemed sinner ought to glorify His Savior. Pardon me. If I get a little excited about going to heaven. Everybody's excited about the mansion they got. That's not the part that impresses me. I've raised in apartment complexes and trailer parks. Tell me somebody. Huh? There's a few times I was a couple of steps above a Maytag box under a bridge abutment. Huh? Jesus said in John chapter number 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, but I go to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's gone away to prepare us a place. Honey, it's a place. The Bible said, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Do you love Him? I didn't come to preach on heaven, but I want to. Hallelujah. This whole world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hallelujah. We're going home, y'all. We're going home. In Psalm 22, the victorious peaks of the blood-stained caps of Mount Calvary. And in Psalm 24, the victorious peaks of Mount Zion. But I want you to notice with me now in Psalm 23, right down in the bottom of it, a valley. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, these valleys. Child of God, notice with me, verse number 3 said, that He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Honey, if you can say that the Lord is your shepherd like David did in Psalm 23 and verse 1, He is leading you in the paths of righteousness. But I want you to know where them paths of righteousness lead. They lead down into the valley. Oh, they lead down into the valley of the shadow of death. I challenge you to find a deeper, darker valley in the Word of God. There is no other valley. I don't know what valley you've traveled through. I don't know what kind of problems you've come through. But honey, there's one out there. There's one out there, David, called the valley of the shadow of death. And we're not exempt from it. Just because you're saved don't mean you ain't going to go through it. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And it leads me down in the path of righteousness. And notice with me that the path of righteousness lead directly down into the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to go out on a limb here, but that's where fruit's at. It was God's will for him to go down into that valley. Oh, I know. That's absolutely foreign to today's preaching. These modern day preachers today want to talk about, here's what they preach on Psalm 23, how to get out of your valley. Well, I ain't fixing to preach on that. Brother Edward, if I knowed how to get out of the valley, I wouldn't tell them. Huh? You say, preacher, you just want us to suffer. No, I don't. No, I don't. But I wouldn't want to get you out of your valley 5 seconds. Before the good shepherd came down in that valley, hallelujah, took you by your trembling hand and led you out of that thing. I don't want you to go through storms, but God will send you into some. And listen to me, I'm not interested in getting you out of your storm. If you're in a storm right now, stay there. I wouldn't want to get you out of your storm 5 seconds before the master of the sea could come walking in the midnight hour, in the darkest hour of the night, step out on the bow of your ship and say, peace be still, and the winds and the waves obey him. I hate you to miss that. I hate you to miss that. Seen them three Hebrew boys over there in Daniel chapter number 3, huh? Throwed them in a burning fiery furnace. 7 times hotter. Throwed them into a furnace of fire. And the Bible said they wasn't trying to find an exit sign. Somebody say amen. They wasn't trying to find a way out. It was loosed and walking around in that flame. That's odd, isn't it? But that's real Christianity. That's real Christianity. And listen, and I'm not going to preach on how to get out of your valley. I'm not going to tell you how to feel better in your storm. Somebody help me right there. I ain't been watching TBN. I've been reading King James Bible. Amen. I want you to see some things when you get in your valley. There's some things I don't want you to miss. There's some things that David found in the valley of the shadow of death. And I think instead of looking for an exit sign, if we'll just look around, we'll find some of the same things. Are you with me? I got 4 things. Is that all right? I know that's more than 3, but it's less than 5, and it could have been 12, and I never said I was good at math. Come with me, will you? Will you come with me this morning, just for a little while, into verse number 4? I mean, let's get right down in the middle of that valley. And I want to give you my 4 thoughts out of verse number 4. And they taught me, preacher, when I was in school, they taught me that the order of discovery doesn't necessarily have to be the order of delivery. And if that be the case, and if you'll give me that liberty, I'd like to start at the bottom of this valley and work our way out, if that's all right with you. Ain't that how you do anyhow? Ain't that how you do? So let's start at the bottom of verse number 4. And I want to show you what David found in the valley. Look at your Bible at verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Watch this, the first thing. Well, the last thing he found. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know what David said he found in the valley of the shadow of death? He said, I found comfort. I don't know about you, but I'm not comfortable in the valley. Help me, somebody. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like storms. I don't like valleys. I'd rather be on the mountaintop. I'd rather shout the victory on the mountain peak than be weeping and sobbing down in the valley. And you're the same way. Somebody say amen. That's why it's human instinct for us to want to get out of the valley. That's why we're so drawn to these ear-tickling modern-day preachers who all they ever talk about is how to get out of the valley. Honey, I'd hate for you to get out of the valley before you miss some of these things that David found. Stay there long enough that you get a whiff of the lily of the valley. Hallelujah. I wouldn't want you to miss that one. Somebody say amen. And if God is going to do something with anybody, you're going to have to go down into that valley. I know you flatlanders down here don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm an Appalachian American raised in the hills of Tennessee. And them old timers, Brother Darnell, when they went to plant a crop, they didn't want no mountain land. How many of y'all heard, "Rock your top, you'll always be"? Moonshiners wrote that song. There ain't a farmer nowhere that likes rocky soil. Can I get a witness? These moonshiners that wrote that song. Huh? And if they wanted to plant a crop, they didn't want no mountain land, too many rocks. They wanted what called bottom land. Help me, y'all. They wanted to get down in the bottom, where all the settlements go, where all the moisture is. Hallelujah. Hey, praise God. If you want fruit in your life, if you want to grow for the grace, for the glory of God, if you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, you're not going to have to spend so much time on the mountain. You're going to have to be in the valley for that to happen. By the way, let me just say this to you geographically speaking here in the text. It takes two mountains to make one valley. Hallelujah. Amen. It takes two mountains to make one valley. What I'm trying to tell you is this Christian life's not a sob story. It's not a sad story. Honey, the good times outweigh the bad times. Somebody say amen. You might have had your problems, but I'm telling you, you got to admit it, that God's been far better to you. Hallelujah. My best day, my worst day as a child of God is better than my best day as a lost man. And thank God for the mountains, but thank God for the valley. Some things you'll find in the valley. David said, "I found comfort." It's a very odd thing to find down in the valley. Valleys are not comfortable. I like to be comfortable. Amen. My idea of comfort is a pillow top mattress. Help me somebody. Egyptian cotton sheets, 500 count. Thank you. Huh? And I like both the firm and the soft pillow because I like a variety. You know, a good night's rest, preacher, after a fancy meal. You know, like Cracker Barrel. That's what I call comfortable. Amen. We all like to be comfortable. I don't have any desire of going down into a deep, dark valley, especially one like this one right here, to find comfort. Somebody say amen. But David said, "I know it don't make no sense, and I know it's strange, but when I got down into the valley of the shadow of death, lo and behold, I found comfort." Hallelujah. There was comfort there. Thank God. If you can say the Lord is my shepherd, you'll find comfort down in the valley. Here's what he said brought him comfort. He said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, in a nutshell, real quick, that rod was for protecting the sheep. That's what he busts a wolf upside the head with. Somebody say amen. Sheep don't have a defense. They don't have any kind of defense against the enemy. They have to rely 100% absolutely upon the shepherd. Somebody holler amen. There's wolves out there. There's wolves out. You know what wolves eat? They eat lambs. They eat sheep. Somebody help me. But listen, if the shepherd's got that rod, thank God, they ain't a thing. They ain't a thing that can get to us without God's approval. I don't know how you feel about it, but that's comforting. I think I know how David felt. I was in South Florida, right off of the interstate, at a little place, sleeping one night, and it seemed as if folks were trying to get in and after me. Help me somebody. I guess they thought I had money. I wore a tie. They thought I had money. I said, "I ain't no lawyer, man. I'm a preacher. I'm going to rob you here in a minute." But they tried to get in there. And I was a little scared, Brother Jared. We've been into some hairy with some scrapes. We've been into some scrapes. You know what brought me comfort? I looked over on my left on that nightstand, and sitting there was my Glock 2740 cal. fully loaded. Amen. One in the chamber. And I just went off to sleep. You thought I was going to be spiritual, didn't you? That's exactly what David is saying. David is saying, I tell you what brings me comfort. Is that rock? Hey, David knows what it's like to go out after a bear and after a lion. Help me, somebody. That rod, thank God. Thank God for that rod. The shepherd will protect his flock. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, here's what one writer that I read after said about that. He said that in the valley there are crevices. He called them crevasses. I don't know where he's from, but in Alabama we call them crevices. He said, you think that you're low as you could possibly get, but you'll fall even further. And that little lamb will leave that flock. He'll get out in that valley and fall down in one of them cracks, and it'll convince itself that it is even out of reach of the shepherd. It's all hope is gone. There's no way that even the shepherd can reach it, only to find that shepherd takes that rock, that staff, hallelujah. That's that one with that iconic crook on the end. He reaches down further than the hallelujah. Somebody ought to help me preach a minute. He reaches further down than you're able to reach up. He gets down there where you didn't even think he could find you and pulls you up. Thank God, thank God. There's not a place you can fall that he cannot get to you. Hallelujah. The shepherd, he protects the sheep, but then he picks them up. Thank God for that. That brings comfort. There's comfort in the valley. Number two, look at your Bible, verse number four. Some things he found in the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Not only did he find comfort down in the valley, but he found companionship. He said, thou art with me. Hallelujah. Hey, the valley ain't so bad now with the shepherd down there with you. Somebody say amen. Honey, you might have to go through some deep, dark valleys. You might even have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But you will not have to go it alone. The good shepherd will be right there by your side to hold your trembling hand as you pass through the valley of the shadow of death. You found companionship. Did anybody find it interesting that David started out Psalm 23 talking about the Lord? But when he got down into verse number 4, when he got down in the valley of the shadow of death, he stopped talking about the Lord and started talking to the Lord. Help me, somebody. Hallelujah. Because when time got tough, he was right there with him. Oh, child of God. Child of God, I know you think you're all by yourself at times, honey. But the good shepherd's looking on. There ain't a thing you'll go through that what God won't be right there with you. You say something to somebody in here, it might be lost. You cannot say the Lord is my shepherd. Guess what, neighbor? You got to go through the valley too. You got to go through the valley of the shadow of death just like the rest of us does. Help me, somebody. But the only difference is you'll have to go it alone. You'll have to go it alone. You'll be all by yourself. Them friends that you're worried about making fun of you for walking an aisle, they're not going to be there. They're not going to be there. Everything you're worried about keeping you from coming to God is not going to be there. When it comes your time to pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm telling you, you'll have to walk it and you'll go it by yourself unless you can bow your head and make Him your Lord and make Him the shepherd of your soul. Child of God, hallelujah. David said, I found companionship. Worst thing there is about being in the valley is about being alone in the valley. There's something worse than dying, y'all. And that's dying without Jesus. And if the Lord's not your shepherd, you're still walking through this valley. But you're going to have to do it all by yourself. Huh? Brother Everett, I've been at the bedside of many a saint of God leaving out of this old world. Huh? They'd always, it seemed like before medicine became a big deal, and by the way, thank God for medicine, I wouldn't want my family to suffer neither. Help me, somebody. But before all that, you can about tell where they went. I remember getting a book from a man by the name of Dr. Maurice Rawlings. He was a cardiovascular surgeon in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He was a professed atheist. Y'all know what an atheist is. They say there is no God. They say they don't believe in God. I don't believe in atheists. How do you like that? Amen. He was a cardiovascular doctor. And he saw a lot of people die. And he could not explain why some people left this world talking about smelling flowers and hearing music and seeing mama. And others would leave with sheer horror on their face, talking about their feet burning, the smell of sulfur. Help me, Doc. Don't let me go. Help me, y'all. I'm going to tell you something, honey. You're going to have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. But if you can say the Lord is my shepherd, you'll not have to go it by yourself. Amen? I heard one preacher talking about he was at his mama's bedside when she passed. And she said, son, can you hear that? He said, what, mama? He said, I hear singing. Best singing I ever heard. I said, son, can you hear that? He said, no, mama, I can't hear it. She said, son, can you smell those fragrant flowers? Sweetest flowers ever. Mama, I can't smell it. She said, son, look at there. There's your dad. Can you see your father, son? No, mama, I can't see him. Help me, y'all. Oh, hallelujah. Here's what the Bible said, precious. In the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I have no idea why I'm preaching this, but I'm preaching this. It's called Holy Ghost preaching. Help me, somebody. God's are telling somebody something. Honey, there's something far worse than dying, and that's dying without Jesus. You leave this world without the Son of God. Honey, you'll wake up one day in a Christless place, an awful place where the worm dies not, and the fire's not quenched. Something worse than dying. Us dying without God. He said, I found comfort in the valley. He said, I found companionship in that valley. Hallelujah. Look at the next thing. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Watch this now. I will fear no evil. Hallelujah. He found courage in that valley. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, honey. I don't care who you are, saved or lost. When you get down in the valley of the shadow of death, you're going to be afraid. It's going to make you afraid. You say, I ain't afraid. I know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I ain't going to be afraid. You will be. You will be. And here's why. It's not because God's not good. And it's not because there's not grace. Help me, somebody. It's the fear of the unknown that scares us. You know what scares us more than anything? It's things we don't understand and things we don't know about. That's why, folks, everything that's different than we are, we're afraid of it. Because we don't understand it. You know something, Brother Edward, I was thinking, as long as eternity is, you would think the Bible would say more about it. I mean, we got 66 books right here, Brother Darnell. We got 66 books God has given us as a roadmap for life. All the information given to us in the Word of God, there is very little said about the one thing everybody wants to know about. Am I right about it? There's one fella that I know of that went and came back. Here's what he said about it. I knew a man above 14 years ago, whether in the body, out of the body, cannot tell the Lord, nor such a one caught up into the third heavens. Hallelujah. Paul was talking about himself. They stoned him to death. And God called him up into heaven. And he saw things there. And he heard things there. And he knew things there. And when he got back, he wrote some books for us. I've scanned through every one of them, Jared. Here's what everybody wants to know when they find out I'm a preacher. And I usually got to sneak up on them with it. I'm usually dressed in the power of liberty bib overalls. Because the Bible said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberties. There's liberties. I put the S on the end. It's an italic S. That's funny right there. Unless you don't know what I'm talking about. And then it's even funnier. Anyhow, they find out I'm a preacher and they want to know the one question. They want to know the one question that you want to know about. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Are we going to see lights? What's going to happen when we leave out of here? That might not be on your heart right now, but you keep on living. You're going to go to bed with that question one of these days. You're going to get up with that question. What's going to happen? I'm not saying whether you lost or saved. Don't matter if you lost or saved. You're still walking through that valley. You're going to wake up with that question on your mind. What's going to happen? And you're going to be afraid. Paul didn't say a whole lot about it. Here's what he did say. He said, be absent from the body. And he really wasn't even talking about it then. He said, knowing this, being absent from the body is be present with the Lord. And I'm over here with a pen and paper going, and? Amen. I remember when I was a kid, the boy, two doors down, his grandmama took him to Disney World. Is it Disneyland? Which one's in Florida? I don't know. And when he got back, I wanted to hear all about it. See, I ain't never been there. Not even yet. Help me, somebody. You see, because when I was a kid, if we wanted to see a mouse, Mama would move the refrigerator. Yeah. And so I want to hear all about it. I want Paul to tell me more. Hey, Paul, tell me more. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? He didn't tell us. It's surprising that the Bible has less to say about the hereafter than any other subject. Are you with me? There's more in the Word of God about plowing with an ox and an ass than there is. Help me, somebody. Than there is. What's going to happen when you leave out of here? The one question we all got didn't get answered. What's going to happen when we leave? Most folks are afraid of it. Man, I hesitate to tell this, but it happened this morning. I don't think she'll mind. Miss Linda Hicks, Brother Edward. Brother Herschel Hicks, a mighty man of God in Tunnel Hill, Georgia. Pastored Nellyhead Baptist Church all in years. Miss Linda, his precious wife, sang power of God down, sang, glory of God, sang. I talked to Brother Joe this morning. He'd left his wife, Miss Lisa, down there to sit with her a while. And here's what he told me she said. She said, I'm afraid. She's sick real bad, y'all. Unless God does something, it won't be long, probably. And here's what she told him. She said, I'm afraid. Does that mean she's doubting her salvation? Does that mean she's not really saved? No! It means she's afraid. But I'm going to tell you something what David said. He said, when I got down into that valley of the shadow, I'm going to tell you something. There's grace for living and there's grace for dying. And that grace is going to kick in one of these days. And she's going to better say with the psalmist, I will fear no evil. Walk right down in there, and I will not fear evil. Amen. There's courage in that valley. For the child of God, there's courage in that valley. Do you know the Bible called it a valley of the shadow of death? Y'all know a valley. You know the shadow of a dog can't bite you. And the shadow of a gun can't shoot you. The shadow of a knife can't stab you. And the death to a child of God is but a shadow. It might scare you, but it cannot hurt you. Honey, there's courage in that valley. You see, you'd have missed it if you'd have been with these modern-day preachers and trying to get out of that valley as soon as you get in it. Huh? All they ever preach on. Why bad things happen to good people. I'm about to vomit every time I hear that again. Every time I hear one of them, why bad things happen to good people. Boy, that sounds real good, don't it? Only problem is it ain't true. Somebody needs to read their Bible. Jesus said, there's none good, no, not one. Help me, y'all. You want to get my attention? Preach on why good things happen to bad people. You're trying to figure out why you had a flat tire last week. I'm trying to figure out why I didn't wake up in a Maytag box under I-75. Somebody help me. I'm trying to figure out why it's gone as good as it has for me. They get all sideways with God in Malachi chapter 1. They get all sideways with God when he said Esau have a hated. Jacob have a loved, Esau have a hated. Why did God hate Esau? Why did God hate Esau? That ain't the right question. The good question is, why did God love Jacob? That slimeward, that trickster, that thief of a man, that slick with a used car salesman. Honey, if you'll rob your blind daddy on his deathbed, what won't you do, slimeward jackwagon? Honey, and God said, I love you. There's your question. Go to bed with that one. And by the way, don't come around me planting no tulips neither. Amen. Plant tulips on the heel of my boot. If you don't know what I'm talking about, God bless your cotton socks. While I'm on my little soapbox, my little Augustinian reform, help me somebody, my little Catholic, going back to the mother of harlots. That's where they're all headed anyway. Them wasn't two individuals in Malachi 1. Them was two nations. He was picking between two nations. He was picking between the nation of the Edomites and the nation of the Israelites. And he said, I'm not going to take the nation of the Edomites. I'm going to take the nation of the Israelites. But that is theological pot smoking. God loved Esau just as much as he loved Jacob. Ain't that right? Well, he got down in that valley. He said, I will fear no evil. There was comfort in the valley. There was company. There was courage. Let me give you the last one. A little boy met me at the door the other day. I was preaching a revival meeting somewhere in Kentucky. The little boy was the only one that talked to me. He come by and he said, man, I like that preaching, little bitty boy. He said, I like that preaching. I said, come here, talk to me. Tell me about it. I said, what was your favorite part? He said, well, that part where it ended. That's his favorite. It's probably your favorite too, so here it is. The last thing. Well, the first thing. The order of discovery has not been the order of delivery. Stephen Olford, anointed expository preacher. He said, yea, watch this now. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Underline that little word, through. David said, I found a conclusion to the valley. Hallelujah. He didn't say, yea, though I walk to the valley. He didn't say, yea, though I walk in the valley. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley. He said, I don't know how and I don't know when. I may start in this valley on this side, but I'm going to come out of it on the other side. Job said, I can't find God. I looked for him on my right hand, on my left hand, before me, behind me. I can't find him, but he knoweth the way that I take. Hallelujah. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Or you might not better find him, but he knows where you are. And thank God the same shepherd that brought you into that valley will bring you out of that valley. Thank God. These valleys did not come to stay. Hallelujah. David, go out. And so will you. So will you. There was a conclusion. It did not come to stay. Hey, y'all, it ain't always going to be like this. It ain't always going to be like this. It ain't always going to be like this. When Emmanuel Victor shall return. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Thank God one day it ain't going to rest in the hands of the Republicans and the Democrats. Hallelujah. The government will be upon his shoulder. And you shall reign as kings and priests unto our God. It ain't always going to be like this. There ain't no wheelchairs in heaven, sister. I'm sorry to tell you. I'm sorry. You can't bring that. I'm sorry. There ain't no oxygen, sister. I'm sorry. You have to leave that down here. Huh? I know you're attached to it. Literally, it's around your ears and under your nose. Chin. You can't bring that. Mama, you can't bring your aches and pains. I'm sorry. Them tear-stained eyes. Ain't none of that there. John the Revelator got caught up in it. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He is doing church stuff. Church folk do church stuff on church day. And, Revelation 4, come up hither! Hallelujah! He got up there and he saw somebody sitting on a throne. 24 elders seated around that throne on a glassy sea. A rainbow round about the throne. Seraphim crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Four beasts saying, hallelujah. I like that word, hallelujah, y'all. It's my most favorite word. Do you know it's the only one that survived the Tower of Babel? Do you know what hallelujah means in China? Do you know how to say hallelujah in China? You say, hallelujah. If you were to go to Russia, do you know how to say hallelujah in Russian? You say, hallelujah. Preacher, it's the only word that survived the Tower of Babel. God said, I don't like what they're doing. I'm going to split them up. I'm going to bring confusion. He said, but I'm going to give them one word. Hallelujah. Don't get me shouting right here at the end of the sermon. He said, I'm going to let them have one word. I want everybody in this whole world to know exactly what they're talking about when they say this one word. I'm going to give them this one word, and it's hallelujah. And it means praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, the four beasts said hallelujah. And then 24 elders said amen. These church words. I want to teach folks how to say church words. See. Where I come from, you don't got to teach them to holler, roll tide. They are born with that. They say it before they can talk. Amen. Yeah. You got to teach them how to say things like amen and hallelujah. Because some folks don't know how to say it. They learn it off of TBN. They say things like hallelujah and stuff. Oh, come on now. I really don't care how they say it as long as they say it. Amen. Amen, amen. Help me, y'all. John the Revelator got caught up. He said, I've seen that book. You know that book? It's the title deed to the world. Amen. If you know anything about the covenants made, one of them was open and one of them was sealed. Seven seals. Seven sealed book. And it was open, the title deed, the contract of this whole thing. But that one that was sealed is in the hand of God. A little black book in the hand of God. Said there wasn't nobody found worthy to open it. They searched the three realms. You can talk about all them other realms if you want to, but they ain't the three in the Word of God. Said they searched through heaven, searched through earth, and they searched under the earth. What found? No man was found worthy. And John thought he lost all hope, and he started crying. And then one of them come up behind him and said, "Here's, I'm going to give it to you in the ACP, the Alabama Cotton Patch Translation. I don't quote it, but I quote it. Hey, boy, ain't no crying up here. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. Hallelujah. Thank God there'll be no tears to dim the eye on that side of the valley of the shadow of death. Thank God. I don't know what you're going through. And I'm not making light of it. But I come to tell you that there's some things in there you'll see. Quit looking for an exit sign and look around for what God has put there for you. And there's some things you'll find in the valley you can't find on the mountain. He didn't find none of that on the mountain. Found it all down in that valley. Bad things ain't so bad after all when the Lord is your shepherd. Let's all stand. Father, thank you for your word. Or might be somebody here lost, never been saved. I pray you draw them. I pray you'd deal with them. I pray you'd save them before it's everlasting too late. I pray you'd do what you do. God, be who you are and do what you do. And in this invitation time, there might be a child of God that's going through a deep, dark valley. And they're frantically trying to get out of it. I pray you'd help them. I pray you'd help them to take a deep breath and look around. Smell the lily of the valley. Look for the shepherd in the valley. And I pray you'd help them. And we trust and commit into your hand the invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.